You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. Sergeant First Class Zaharia Baumel was laid to rest in Jerusalem's Mount Herzl Military Cemetery on Thursday evening, nearly 37 years after his death in the First Lebanon War's Battle of Sultan Yaqub in 1982 when he was 21. Thousands turned out for the ceremony. He was eulogized by President Reuven Rivlin and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, among others. Baumel's remains were returned to Israel earlier in the week after a complex IDF intelligence operation with Russian assistance. President Rivlin said in his eulogy, "Zaharia, a few days before the battle where you fell, you wrote to your parents, 'Don't worry, everything's all right, but it looks like I won't be home soon.' 37 years have elapsed, but today you returned home. You returned to our homeland, to Jerusalem." Prime Minister Netanyahu said, "Like many Israelis, I got chills when I heard that Zaharia was back home. We've been waiting for this for 37 years. Bringing our sons back home touches the deepest part of our identity as Jews and Israelis. In the name of these values and out of love for Israel, Zaharia went to war." Netanyahu attended the funeral shortly after returning to Israel from Moscow. In his remarks, he had said he had personally asked Russian President Vladimir Putin for his help finding the remains of Israeli soldiers missing in Syria 2 years ago. He said that Putin agreed, and from that time onwards, he has followed the search personally, and the IDF has been in contact with the Russian military about it. Netanyahu held a press conference on Thursday in Moscow with President Putin, at which the latter said his country's military, with Syrian assistance, had retrieved the remains. Syria has denied that it cooperated. Leah and Simcha Golden, the parents of Lieutenant Hadar Golden, who was killed on August 1, 2014 during Operation Protective Edge in Gaza in violation of a UN-brokered ceasefire and whose body has not been returned, said they were moved that the family of Zaharia Baumel now have closure after nearly four decades. In a statement issued on Thursday, they wrote that the pain and anguish of losing a son and not knowing his fate is indescribable. Two other families, the families of Zaharia's comrades at Zvi Feldman and Yehuda Katz, are still waiting their closure, as is the family of Aaron Shaul, whose body is also in Gaza. Over 10,000 Palestinians participated in weekly protests and riots along the Gaza Strip's border with Israel on Friday afternoon. Although the protests were smaller and quieter than last week due to calls by organizers and armed factions to avoid violence as Israel and Hamas worked to achieve a long-term truce, clashes were reported. Some protesters hurled rocks and explosive devices at Israeli troops who responded with less lethal measures. 70 people were injured, one of them critically. Already last Saturday, there appeared to be a breakthrough in the ceasefire efforts when Palestinians in Gaza maintained relative calm along the border during large protests. Israel, in turn, reopened its two crossings with Gaza last Sunday and significantly expanded the permitted fishing area around the coastal enclave on Monday. Friday was, by law, the last day on which voting polls could be released before the ballot boxes opened for national elections on Tuesday morning. According to one poll, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party and challenger Benny Gantz's Blue and White were neck and neck. Another highly regarded poll, published on Friday, projected the centrist Blue and White party would win 32 seats, five more than the right-wing Likud, which was predicted to win 27 seats. However, the poll found that the right-wing bloc led by Likud would beat the centre-left bloc by a substantial margin. Overall, right-wing and religious parties received 66 seats in the poll versus 54 for the centre-left and Arab parties. This mirrors the results of all major surveys released in recent days and suggests that the incumbent Prime Minister will be best positioned to form the next government. Prime Minister Netanyahu vowed yesterday to extend Israeli sovereignty to the settlements of the West Bank if he is re-elected in Tuesday's elections, flatly ruling out Palestinian statehood, which he said would endanger our existence. Netanyahu promised to permanently maintain overall Israeli security control in the West Bank and to formalize Israeli rule over the 400,000 plus Israeli Jews in the settlements. This would apply not only to major settlement blocks, but also to isolated settlements. On Friday, discussing the anticipated U.S. peace plan, Netanyahu said he'd made it clear to President Trump that he is not prepared to evacuate a single person from any West Bank settlement. Blue and White Party number two, Yair Lapid, made his way to Paris on Friday for a meeting with his friend, French President Emmanuel Macron. During their sit-down at the Elysee Palace, the two discussed the situation in the Middle East, the Iranian threat, and the war on growing anti-Semitism in Europe. The unusual meeting between a head of state and an opposition politician just a few days before an election took place a day after Prime Minister Netanyahu met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the Kremlin, and less than 2 weeks after the Israeli leader met with US President Donald Trump at the White House. Netanyahu's close personal relationship with world leaders has been one of the key components of his Likud party's campaign strategy. Blue and White leader Benny Gantz, a former army chief with no diplomatic or political experiences, is not known to have met any heads of state. But at the sidelines of a trip to Washington to address AIPAC's annual policy conference last month, he met with several senior officials, including U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. His election policy may have been based almost exclusively on the need to replace the prime minister. On Tuesday evening, Gantz remarked, "He was once a good leader of Israel. He has in the past done fine things for the country, but he's lost his way dangerously. And for the sake of Israel's democracy, indeed for the sake of Israel's very future, he cannot continue as prime minister." 5 days ahead of the elections, Facebook has temporarily blocked the account of Otzma Yehudit party member Itamar Ben-Gvir, claiming he had repeatedly violated the social network's terms and conditions. One of the reasons for Ben-Gvir's ban apparently was a photo showing portraits of Otzma Yehudit leaders with a slogan reading, 100 dead terrorists, but not a single hair will fall from the heads of IDF soldiers. Several other posts by Ben-Gvir were also reported, and the far-right politician was warned by Facebook before he was actually blocked. Uniting Israelis. The Bereshit spacecraft was successfully captured by lunar gravity during a tricky maneuver on Thursday night, making Israel the seventh country in the world to successfully send objects into orbit around the moon. The United States, Russia, Japan, China, the European Space Agency, and India have all made visits to the moon via probes, although only the US, Russia, and China have successfully landed on the moon. Other probes lost control and crashed onto the surface. If Israel successfully lands as planned on April 11th, it will become the fourth country to do so and will also be the first time that a privately funded venture has landed on the moon. This is Peter Jones Pelach on the new moon of the month of Nisan, reporting for SBS Radio.
sbs.com.au